Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will revisit our ongoing conversation on the emerging markets. With that, joining me here in studio on this Tuesday morning, glad to welcome back the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas with the UBS, Chief Investment Officer Alejo Zarwanko. Alejo, thank you for dropping by the studio. It's great to be with you as always.
Thank you, Dan. It's very excited to be here in person.
Absolutely. So, Alejo, I know you're joining us today because your team recently released the latest in the monthly publication series, Investing in Emerging Markets. The title for this month, Patiently Awaiting the U.S. Elections, is hard to believe. Within a couple of months, Election Day will be here, so there is a lot of anticipation. So, I'm curious, of course, a lot of focus coverage on the U.S. elections here within the States, though, when you think about the impact to the emerging markets, why do, Alejo, the U.S. elections really matter?
Absolutely, Dan. I would say you got to remember the U.S. is the world's largest economy. It spends more than any other country in the world on military, right? The U.S. dollar is king. It is the world's undisputed reserve currency. Over 60% of foreign exchange reserves in the vaults of central banks globally are denominated in U.S. dollars. And the U.S. has the largest and deepest capital markets. When you put it all together, you conclude that investors are justified to pay more attention to the U.S. election than to any other election globally, right? So, look, you talk to clients, that's question one, two, and three. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen. You talk to folks outside of the United States, a lot of doubt. There's people want to understand, and it's not clear, right? As our election probabilities indicate, right? 55-45, that's not a high conviction call.
Very close. And of course, 2024 has been a year of elections, as you pointed out, clearly a lot of impact implications to the emerging markets with respect to the U.S. elections. I'm curious, though, this cycle aside, if we look historically speaking, Alejo, what has the impact of U.S. election outcomes been on emerging market assets?
Totally. Here's what we know, right? Historically, assets from the emerging markets have experienced fairly strong moves. Short-lived, but fairly strong moves around U.S. Election Day. In addition, the nature of the electoral outcome historically has mattered. Emerging market assets have done a little better during periods of a unified government, as well as during periods with a Democratic president in the White House. Now, you got to take these findings with a grain of salt. The reason being that we are drawing from, at most, eight presidential election cycles. That's the amount of history we have in terms of emerging market asset performance. Eight observations is not a large enough sample to have a lot of confidence in any prediction, right? So I'm sharing with you the patterns of history, but given the relatively limited number of observations, I wouldn't extrapolate moving forward. I think you got to analyze specifically what do we have at hand in this instance.
So with that, Alejo, that's a perfect segue. As you pointed out, CIO has laid out a number of scenarios as to how this upcoming election here in the U.S. may play out. How do you envision this specific election cycle impacting emerging markets?
We have a very simple framework for how to think of the impact of the U.S. election on emerging markets. We identify three main channels of impact. One is U.S. macro. Trump, Harris, unified, divided government, they will have an impact on U.S. growth, inflation, interest rates, the overall direction of the U.S. dollar, right? So this matters for emerging markets. Number two, trade policy. Trump and Harris are very different in terms of what they propose when it comes to tariffs, right? Third, geopolitics. The U.S. continues to shape global affairs. How Trump, Harris decide to handle relations with China, Mexico, Argentina, Venezuela, Russia, the Middle East at large, This all matters for emerging markets, right? When we put it all together, it is our analysis that a Republican victory is more conducive to an environment of faster U.S. growth. This is undoubtedly good for emerging markets. So higher growth, good for emerging markets, more likely in a Republican victory. Now, at the same time, if Republicans win, the higher growth will be accompanied by higher interest rates and maybe by a stronger U.S. dollars. These developments tighten financial conditions in the emerging markets. And if you think about it, investors are rarely willing to increase their allocations to emerging markets when there's trade and geopolitical noise. And we think a Republican victory would bring along higher levels of trade and geopolitical noise. So putting it all together, then, we think a Republican victory will likely introduce a bit more of a headwind to emerging markets when compared to the tailwinds for emerging markets. The nature of a Republican or a Democratic victory matters. As you know, then, U.S. presidents can implement policy a lot more effectively if they enjoy a unified Congress rather than a divided Congress, right? So this will play a role as well.
Quite a few considerations when you think about trade, the economy, geopolitics. We've covered the asset class broadly speaking. Maybe we can get a bit more granular, cover some key countries. A few that come to mind, Alejo, Mexico, China, India. How can the election impact the relations of those countries with the U.S.?
Without a doubt, Dan, let's start with Mexico. There's no denying Mexico is vulnerable to shifts in U.S. policy and U.S. rhetoric around policy, right? So it's going to be a choppy few months for Mexican assets. Also taking into account that there's debate around the approval of domestic reforms in a number of areas. That said, as the U.S. seeks to reduce its reliance on China, mainland China, I think the U.S.-Mexico economic relationship looks likely to grow over time. There might be, you know, backs and forth, a little bit of tension as the incoming Mexican president and the incoming U.S. president get to know each other, get in sync. But when they dust settles, then I think there's going to be deeper integration between the U.S. and Mexico. Nearshoring, allyshoring, friendshoring is real, tangible, and Mexico is part of the solution to U.S. problems and not doesn't add necessarily net-net to the number of problems. You mentioned China, and in that regard, look, we think U.S.-China relations look likely to remain on a structurally challenged path, no matter who wins. Harris wins, Trump wins, U.S. and China are not going to get along significantly better. Of course, the nature of the relationship will evolve. Harris, in a way, if you look at the Biden administration for guidance, has been more of a small yard, high fence kind of approach. Trump, in turn, seems to, you know, be willing to go a bit more broader in terms of, you know, the target of China engagement. But no matter who wins, I think you're looking at years of tension between the U.S. and China. Finally, let's talk about India, right? It is a country that I like to remind folks, it's the ultimate geopolitical swing state, swing country, because it stands in between the U.S. and China. And it's large enough to be able to make its own decisions, right? How many countries can pull off getting along well with the U.S. president, China, you know, leadership, Russia, the Middle East, right? They can navigate a complex geopolitical environment successfully. I think India will continue to enjoy foreign interests as supply chains are redrawn in a geopolitically changing world. We've talked about this in the past. So, you know, three very different countries, with very different realities.
Will be interesting to see how the relations with these countries, with the U.S. evolve, depending on the outcome here in the U.S. comes November. So, Alejo, as we begin to wrap up, let's maybe turn to the investment implications. What should investors do in this context, Alejo?
First things first, Dan, as we sound like a broken record. We've said this many times before. Long-term portfolio construction is best treated as an apolitical exercise. Going back to the beginning of our conversation when we said, you know, these are published probabilities by the Chief Investment Office, 55% likelihood of a Democratic victory, 45% likelihood of a Republican victory. Mm-hmm. This doesn't really indicate very high conviction. Anything can happen. In addition, how will the market react to a particular political outcome is really anybody's guess. Mm-hmm. For those reasons, we think stay invested according to a long-term plan, try to leave politics aside. And when you think about that premise, we continue to believe emerging market assets play a central role in portfolios because they diversify your exposure geographically, and there's plenty of evidence that they contribute to higher returns than a portfolio without them, mm-hmm. right? You know, in addition to a core allocation to emerging markets, you can think about certain specific winners. Mexican assets towards the end of the year might present a more attractive risk-reward. Indian exposure, we think it's a must, mm-hmm. among other considerations. More details available in the piece.
We'll point our listeners to the flagship publication, Investing in Emerging Markets, Patiently Awaiting the U.S. Elections, which is now available up on ubs.com/CIO. Of course, for our listeners, please be sure to reach out to your UBS financial advisor to attain a copy of the publication directly. Though, Alejo, thank you again for dropping by the studio, spending some time with our listeners. This conversation will continue, so looking forward to tracking the outcome and following up as we know more.
Thank you for having me. It's incredible the difference it makes to be in person. So let's try to do it more often in our New York City studios.
That sounds good to me, Alejo. We'll get it done. Thank you again. Again, we've been speaking with Alejo Zerwanko, Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office from the UBS studios. I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.